Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. What motivates a man who is the founder, CEO, and chairman of the board of Hartman Income REIT to take his family to India every year? L. Hartman formed Hartman Management by sponsoring private real estate investment programs, acquiring over 100 commercial real estate properties, raising over $500 million of investor equity, and acquiring more than $1 billion in commercial real estate assets. His faith, his relationship with Jesus Christ, makes all the difference for him in business, family, and life. Dear friend, that's why we pause at the beginning of our show to remind you the reason we have the Good Life radio program is to bring you closer and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ so that you, like Al Hartman, could know the love of Jesus. Do you know that God loves you so much, dear friend, that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins? That Jesus shed his blood on that cross to wash your sins away? He was buried, yes, and 3 days later he rose again from the grave. And the living Christ, who has touched the heart of Al Hartman, oh dear one, he's here to touch your heart as well. Would you open your heart and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Well, that's our prayer. Al Hartman has been married to his wife Lisa for over 23 years. They have three daughters, Margaret, Victoria, and Charlotte. Al, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Danny. I'm happy to be on your show.
Al, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Wisconsin for 13 years and then upstate New York for about 5 years.
What part of upstate New York?
I was in a city called Elmira that is in the southern tier of New York, near Pennsylvania.
Who influenced you most, Al, there in your growing up years?
That, Danny, that is a great question. I think I was influenced by my father the most and looked up to him. And he was a godly man and had a good marriage and raised eight children.
Wow.
Where did you fall in the eight?
I was number six out of eight.
How did you become a Christian?
Danny, I was raised in the church, and it was one of the mainline churches, and the gospel wasn't preached too much in that church. And so I fell away in my later teenage years. I fell away and quit going to church for about 10 years. In my 20s, I literally was not in church for about 10 years. And then in my late 20s, I moved to Houston and started attending church again. And to tell you the truth, the reason I was going to church is to find a wife. Mm-hmm. And so I still wasn't a Christian. But I attended several different churches and then ended up at the church I go to now, which is a Second Baptist church, which is happens to be the largest church in the country, 78,000 members. But back in the day when I started there, it had a large singles ministry, had about 10,000 singles in their singles ministry. So I was attracted to that and went there to find a wife. And in fact, I did. That's where I met my wife, Lisa. And then shortly after we got married, I became a believer. I got baptized within the first year and then started on my journey. My wife had the same kind of testimony. She was raised in the same denomination, was not a Christian, fell away for about 10 years, and then she got into the same church and then into Second Baptist. And then she became a Christian before I did because she's younger. But so we started our journey together.
Now, describe for us what was going on in your heart in terms of your readiness for the gospel, your readiness to respond.
Well, Danny, that's a great question. We started having children immediately. In fact, our first child was born 10 months after we got married. And so I realized that, you know, the way I was raised to set a good example for our children was to be in church, be in the Word, be in prayer. And by doing so, you know, also raise your children up the way they should go so they would not stray far from it. But to live that example, that model, and that's really what motivated me, is to raise a family that would be a legacy. That's really the only legacy that we have, Danny, when we leave here, is our offspring. Of course, other people that we've led to Christ, other people we've influenced and so forth. But what will go on generation after generation is our own family.
Hmm. So when did you gain inspiration to become a leader in real estate investment trusts?
Well, I was in my 20s, and I was making money. I was selling siding door-to-door in Indiana, and I was making money, good money. And I took the money I was making and saving, and I put it into real estate so that I would be able to shelter my income so my taxes wouldn't be as high. And so I gradually, after several years of doing that, I gradually morphed into going into real estate full time. I bought some residential properties in Indiana, and within 2 or 3 years, I turned them around, made a profit, sold them, made a profit, and then moved to Houston back in about 35 years ago, back in 1981.
Hmm. So this was all even before you met Lisa, before you went to Second Baptist?
It was, yes.
Hmm. Go ahead, Suzanne.
What caused you to move to Houston? I'm curious.
Well, Suzanne, I did some research and looked at every city, not every city, but I looked across the whole country to try to determine which economy was the best and which provided the most opportunity. And Houston, back in the day, was known as the Golden Buckle on the Sun Belt. And so Houston was growing like 10% a year. The oil was booming. Back then it was $40 a barrel. Everybody was blowing and going, and things were going very well. And so I was attracted to that city because of the opportunities, the growth opportunities. And that's why I selected Houston.
Thank you. And we personally thank the Lord for that decision. That was great.
What difference?
I do pray for Houston. I pray for revival in Houston all the time. And there's been people that have received visions of Houston reviving. They see fires, different individual fires that are going on in different areas in the city that represent the Holy Spirit. So I do pray for revival in Houston and to spread, of course, throughout the state and throughout the country.
Now, what difference? What difference would you say now, looking back a few decades? What difference would you say Jesus has made in your life?
Well, Jesus makes all the difference. Everything we have is going to burn up like hay, wood, and stubble, as you know, and nothing is left. And so, Jesus is really the only thing that matters. And so, as things evolved in my life, and as I became sanctified and grew with the Lord, I came to realize that, you know, we're here to glorify God, you know, primarily to glorify God. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. So that's been my vision for my life, is to glorify God in everything I'm doing.
When we come back from our break, let's talk a little bit. We talked about the real estate investment trusts, and maybe if you can just share a little more with our listeners of how they function. But you're listening to Al Hartman. Al built Hartman Management into one of the leading commercial property management firms in the state of Texas and sponsored 18 privately offered programs, three publicly offered programs. So we'll hear more from Al Hartman. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. You'll find out more about Al, hi.reit.com. That's hi-reit.com. More with Al Hartman when we come back. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer. We're glad you're with us today. Of course, we're talking about real estate. We're talking about business. We're talking about family. We're also talking about faith. Perhaps today you're listening, something drew you to this program, perhaps in an unusual way. Well, it's not something, it's someone. We believe it's the Lord God Himself who is drawing you, dear friends. So stay with us. We'll be back with more from Al Hartman.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me. I lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Waiowa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Winward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Well, Al Hartman has invested in commercial real estate in Houston, San Antonio, and Dallas, Texas. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here, Suzanne Maurer. Thanks for joining us. Perhaps you're tuning in right now. Maybe caught the tail end of the last segment. Hey, look, you can get this program in its entirety. It's a gift to you. TheGoodLifeHawaii.com. And as I normally do, I encourage you to not only listen to it, but share it with a family member or friend. To find out more about Al Hartman, hi.reit.com, hi.reit.com. Al, how do real estate investment trusts, how do they function?
Real estate investment trusts are designed to throw off income to the investor. So they're required to spend 90% of their earnings to the investor. And so they tend to be have a lot of income connected with them and some growth. So there are a group of properties. REITs are a group of properties that are put together. They're assembled, and they operate as one company, and they're publicly traded, either non-traded. We have a public non-traded REIT, and there are also traded REITs that are publicly traded. And we plan to do an IPO ourselves next year, become publicly traded, and even grow the company more. But that's the purpose of REITs, is to throw off income to investors and offer a relatively safe investment, because most REITs have low leverage also. The average publicly traded REIT has about 30 or 35% leverage or debt on the portfolio.
So as you did this individually, Indiana, then moved to Texas, moved to Houston, what kind of... Did you need any formalized training, to prepare you for the larger investment deals that you were putting together?
Well, it's interesting, Danny. When I first moved to Texas, the first thing I did was spend about a year doing research. So I didn't really go to school, but I went to all the libraries that are major universities in Texas, Texas A&M and University of Texas and a few others, and just read everything that they had about real estate. And that was kind of a basis for starting the company. I learned how to do it and how to put capital together and how to buy real estate. So when I did my first offering, it was a very small offering. It was about $200,000 in size, and each investor invested something like $5,000. It was a relatively small amount. And so I grew from there, and that was the first offering. We did, like you said, over 100 properties, but that was the start, and then each one grew a little bit as time went on.
What are you passionate about when you put these deals together? When you're talking with investors, I just wonder, does it grow with the dollar amounts, or is there something that God has placed in you that just thrives on just the deals and the opportunities that you provide? What goes on inside?
Well, Danny, we always put the investor first. So that's where you start, is by creating opportunities for investors to have a relatively safe investment and grow their income, grow the value of their investment, and get a good cash flow. And so by putting the investor first, we've created a track record that is one of the best track records in the industry for non-traded REITs. And so because of that, we've been able to grow and flourish and attract new investors. And so you put the investor first. Of course, your tenants are the customers, and you want to take good care of the customers and keep the customers you have and offer good customer service. And that's from a business point of view. But we run our company on biblical principles. So we do all kinds of things in our company that glorifies God. We have a Bible study for men. We have a Bible study for women. We have a chaplain service that comes in and talks to all the employees every other week at our, the 15 different offices that we have throughout the state. And we have a benevolence fund that we give money to the poor, give money to people in need, and give money to employees to help them out in case they have a difficult situation, medical bills or paying off debt or other things that they need money for, help them to move. And so we give away $100,000 a year just to people that are in need, both employees and outside of the company. We have speakers that come in every quarter in our company-wide meetings and talk about the gospel message and other things. And so we're even working on hiring a full-time life coach that will do nothing but their full-time job will be to meet each employee and talk to each employee about Jesus. And so by either discipling them or leading them to Christ or encouraging them to participate in Bible studies or whatever the aspect is that they might be able to, each employee might be able to grow in their faith through that process. We've got 150 employees, and so I feel responsible to these employees that I would hate to see any employee not know Jesus and not live their lives for God.
Now, you're in a position of tremendous influence, and you're using that influence for God, using that influence for the betterment of your employees and their families. You talked about a life coach. Did God place people in your life that mentored you, that modeled certain things, Christ-like characteristics for you, that sort of helped form this vision that you have for your employees?
Danny, there is. I did have a mentor, and the mentor happened to be our pastor, Dr. Ed Young. So when I first started going to church there, I used to sit on the back pew, right at the back door, and before the sermon was over, I had a tennis match at 12 o'clock. Before the sermon was over, I'd leave the service about 5 minutes early and go to my tennis match. So that's where I started. That's the mindset I had. I wasn't even a believer at that time. And then I gradually have moved up, and now I'm sitting on the front row or the second row or the third row in the church. And so he has been my inspiration, Dr. Young, through listening to his sermons and studying the Word and just being inspired through the Holy Spirit by what he says. I can say that he has probably influenced my life more than any single person.
Ephesians 3:20, my God is able to do exceeding abundantly above and beyond all that you could ever ask or think. Did you ever imagine 20 years ago, 25 years ago, that you would be in the position you're in today?
Well, from a business point of view, I certainly did. But from a faith walk point of view, I had no idea, didn't have a clue, but I've always aspired to grow the business and to become, we've been working on becoming a public company for the last 15 years or so.
Well, that's a big one coming up, huh? Your IPO?
Exactly, absolutely.
Human relationships. What are the most important qualities in human relationships that you value?
Well, I would say it is love. I mean, you have to start with love. I had a conversation just last week with another mentor that I have, a coach. He's head of a group of CEOs. He heads a CEO group called C12. It's located here in Houston. And he and I had a conversation last week about, my inability to love people as much as I need to love them, as much as Jesus loves them. And so he asked me to cross-reference the word love so that I'd be able to be more like Christ in loving people, loving my employees and loving other people, and even in difficult situations, to love your enemy or whoever it might be. And so that's an area that I personally am working on right now, is through the power of the Holy Spirit to become more loving.
Now, when you say loving, someone might be listening and saying, okay, more, is it just being more tender? Is it being more affectionate? What do you mean when you say to be more loving?
Well, I think it's a matter of taking the right approach with people to make people feel at ease, to make people feel comfortable, to make to not be divisive or argumentative or be short with emails, terse emails, or whatever it might be, just to be able to give it more thought and to try to put yourself in the other person's shoes a little bit more and be a little bit more empathetic with others. Mm-hmm. And even in difficult situations, to be loved, that's difficult, to love people. Of course, we're called to forgive people. We want to have have unforgiveness not part of our lives. And so, I think it's probably true, more so with some people than others. But as we are sanctified, as we spend time with God in the Word and in prayer, I think we become more like Christ in all aspects of love. That's a great question, but that explain it, Danny?
Well, I mean, it's coming straight from you. I mean, I appreciate that. So, Al, when we come back, I'd like to talk about Vision America and the Elijah Challenge, and also I touched on it at the beginning. Your annual trips, you know, taking your family to India. So if we can touch on that, just fascinated by the breadth of what the Lord has enabled you to do. He's placed His vision on your heart decades ago, and it's come to fruition. But yet you talk about the way it's textured and layered with a level of spiritual sensitivity, spiritual growth. You talk about love. Oh, how we need love to be loved and to love others. And it's certainly so much more, as you were expressing, than just a word. So much deeper than that. Al Hartman, we're talking with him, and we'll share more. He'll share more heart to heart when we come back. Stay with us.
Desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference. But where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waiahua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waiahua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Oh, we're privileged. We are certainly privileged indeed. Al Hartman is our guest today. He served as a deacon for Second Baptist Church, Houston, for 20 years. He's on the board of Vision America. It's a nonprofit pastor's political mobilization ministry. And the Elijah Challenge, he'll share that, share more about these with us. I'm eager to hear it. Al Hartman, you can find out more about Al at hi-reit.com. That's hi-reit.com. Danny Yamashiro here, Suzanne Maurer, my co-hosts. We're grateful that you're with us today. Hey, Al, Vision America. What is that, and why do you feel the mission of Vision America is so vital today?
Well, Danny, what we're seeing in our country is an implosion of the culture. We're seeing the culture just falling apart all around us, and it's quite concerning. People are falling away from the church. They're not attending church. The number of people that are avowed atheists or agnostics is increasing dramatically, and it's happening at a rather rapid rate. If you just look at the last 5 years, you look at the millennial generation, how rapidly they're falling away, it's quite concerning. And so the purpose of Vision America is to make a difference on the culture of the United States, and working with pastors and getting pastors interested in the culture and getting the pastors to talk in the pulpit about people getting out and making a difference and being able to vote and vote with your values and get people in office that are leaders, that are godly Christian leaders, that would stand up for the principles and be able to retain the Christian heritage that we have in this country that we seems to be slipping through our fingers so rapidly. And so Vision America, what they, to give you an example of something they've done in the last election cycle, they worked in some of the key battleground states for Senate races and the presidential race, and they had 50 pastors' conferences in the key battleground states leading up to the election, 3 or 4 months before the election, and they got the pastors inspired, motivated. The pastors went back and talked to their parishioners, and they printed 5 million voter guides to go along with the pastors could take back to their church. And as a result, the increase in Christians voting was greater than the margin of victory in Pennsylvania, in Michigan, and North Carolina. As a matter of fact, the president of Vision America, John Graves, spent the last 3 weeks before the election in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, where you have the concentration of the Mennonites and Amish who normally don't vote. And he went there and got them to about 20,000 of them to turn out to vote for the first time. And so that's what created that victory. So when Christians get together and band together and make their voice known as a group, we speak with a loud voice. And so that's a passion, that's something that's on my heart, is to have Christians rise up in this culture and be a voice for God, be a voice for righteousness, and really make a difference in the elections and change the culture.
Your take on how things are developing in this regard. Do you feel like progress is being made? And there's certainly a lot of tension that exists politically. There's certainly tension that exists in our culture. But do you feel that progress is being made?
Yes, I do, Danny. I do see progress. I think we are making an impact. I see, for example, anecdotally, I see blacks that are coming away from their mentality of voting just for one party. You know, you have a situation where 60 million babies have been murdered over the last, since 1973. And you've got traditional marriage, and blacks are saying enough is enough. Somebody said, a recent presidential candidate, won't mention any names, said if you don't support choice in abortion, then you shouldn't be in the party. And so blacks, for the most part, that are God-fearing, church-going blacks should be voting against abortion and voting for marriage. And so I'm hopeful that they're starting to come over. They start realizing that. In addition, Hispanics are very faith-based. And, you know, we should be able to get the Hispanics to vote with their, according to their faith. So I am hopeful that we can prevail and we can win. And continue to win.
Let's talk a little bit about the millennials. You did mention that. You spoke about the millennial generation. How concerned are you?
Well, Danny, I pray for revival every day in this country. That it would start in Houston, spread throughout the state, spread throughout the country. I don't really have the answer outside of revival. I just know they're dropping away from the church, and they're going to universities, as you know, and 95% of the universities are the professors are liberal, and they're opposed to God. And so when kids come into the university, they may not all be Christians, but 60%, if they check the box, they would say they're Christians. They may not all be Christians, but 60% would say they're Christians. But when they come out, 30% would say they're Christians. So it's just decimating the culture when they go to these universities, making a negative impact on these kids.
What is the Elijah Challenge?
The Elijah Challenge is an organization whose purpose is to spread the word of God, spread the gospel message throughout the world, and they do that primarily to teach evangelism. They do that primarily through training pastors on how to do evangelism. And the way they train them on evangelism is that they, by laying hands on people and seeing people's lives change, seeing miracles that occur in an individual's life, whether it's a healing or a demon or something else, when they see that miracle take place, then in a third world country, especially it doesn't happen that much in the United States, but in a third world country, when somebody is healed, then the whole village will come to Christ. And so instead of telling people about Christ in a village and hoping that a few of them accept Christ, we train pastors, and that's why I go to India every year. I train pastors on how to evangelize by laying hands on people and people being healed.
What have you seen? Share some testimonies of miracles that you've seen take place and therefore communities being impacted.
We've seen, Danny, we've seen the blind see. We've seen the lame walk. We've seen the deaf to hear. The miracles are too numerous to even talk about, but this is happening not only in India, it's happening in Africa. I looked at some videos just last week about this happening in Africa, and so it's happening around the world, and so you see all kinds of miracles. You see people healed from cancer. You see people that have heart problems. Heart problems is pretty frequent, where they maybe couldn't hardly walk before, but after they're prayed over, they can run up and down the aisles. And so there's many, many. If you want to look at the website, any listener wants to look at the website, the Elijah Challenge, you'll see, you'll get an eyeful of just all the different videos and different photographs of people being healed.
So you take your family there to India every year?
I do.
Now, how has that impacted your family, Al?
Well, it has an impact on my family. My oldest daughter, for example, is in a ministry that's in Houston that she's reaching out to people, and the people are immigrants that are kind of aliens in a strange land, and they're helping to make them more comfortable and offering to, you know, lead them to Christ if they're not Christians, and just taking care of them if they don't have money. So that's my oldest daughter. My youngest daughter has she started going with us to India when she was 13, and she has made the decision. She's been called by God to become, to go into a ministry full time. Mm. So she wants to go overseas and become a missionary.
Al, would you be comfortable sharing what you and Lisa and your girls do on Sunday after church with evangelism?
Well, Suzanne, we go out on Sunday to the mall, every other Sunday to the local mall, and we talk to people for an hour or so. We have three or four other people that come with us, and we pass out tracts and talk to people about Jesus. And a typical afternoon with three or four people, we'll talk to maybe a dozen people or several dozen people, and typically 5 to 10 people will accept Christ in just that 1 hour of time we spent at the mall just witnessing to people.
Thank you. I know it's just wonderful, and you've been doing that for several years, haven't you?
I have, yes.
It's wonderful.
Just recently I started talking to our neighbors, and so last month my wife and I went and talked to all of our neighbors and just asked them how we could pray for them. I would encourage the listeners to do the same thing. You can just go to your neighbors and say, how can I pray for you? And it really creates a bond. People are really in need of receiving prayer, and it really opened up a line of communication with our neighbors. So I would recommend that also.
Thank you.
You're listening to Al Hartman sharing about the heart that God has given him, the heart that God has shaped in him, a heart for people, a heart for the world, a heart that's aware of the way things are shifting. They shift almost invisibly around us in terms of society, but you see the results of it if you're not aware of what's going on. But there are things that can be done. There are things that we can do. So there's Vision America. There's the Elijah Challenge. When we come back from our break, our final segment with Al Hartman. Al is he oversees a staff of 150 employees who manage 50 commercial properties encompassing over 7 million square feet. Al Hartman of Hartman Management. He attends Second Baptist Church. The pastor is Pastor Ed Young, who has influenced him in a very profound way. Dear friend, where are you today? Are you moved to step out in faith, to ask someone if they need prayer? I'd encourage you to do that. I believe God will use you in a profound way. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Ring the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Yes, Danny Yamashiro here, Al Hartman joining Suzanne Maurer and me, and we're grateful that you're with us, because this is a very, very special time as Al shares heart to heart with us. Al, how has the Lord helped you in a personal way, personal basis, through difficult times in life?
Well, Danny, one of the things that I've learned is to spend time with God. And when you think that you can have a relationship, an intimate relationship with the creator of the universe, it is just stunning. It's just overwhelming that you can have that relationship. Anybody, any listener can have the relationship with the creator of the universe. And so the various spiritual disciplines, reading the Bible, praying, fellowshipping together, and serving others, worshiping God. But what I want to emphasize, Danny, more than anything, is spending time with God in prayer. And I make it a goal every day to pray for 1 hour a day and 2 hours on the weekend. I've recently adjusted my schedule to pray 2 hours during the week also. The time with God is so fruitful, and it's so moving, and it's so inspirational that when I pray for an hour, I'm only halfway through my prayer. And so I've decided I need to pray for 2 hours because to be able to finish the prayer.
When you're praying, Al, are you speaking? Are you bringing things before God the whole time? Or are there periods when you're silent before Him and He's speaking to you or ministering to you in a way that really only God can? Because it seems like for someone, it might seem like a long period of time. So how is that time spent?
So the first half is spent praising and worshiping God. And just thanking God and singing to God and listening to God. So I spend at least half my time doing that. And then the other half is asking God, interceding for others and praying for situations. And what happens, Danny, what typically happens, and then journaling, writing, and what typically happens is that when I pray, God speaks to me, God not in a voice, but God reveals to me in my mind things that I should be writing down. And so I write things down as I go through prayer time. And sometimes I can write down as many as, 10 different things. If I have a problem that's an overwhelming problem, insurmountable problem, and I don't know what to do with it, I go through a process and pray about different aspects of the problem and write them down. And God reveals answers to the problem through that process that I go through. And so
have you seen this impacted in your serve on nonprofit boards? Have you seen it impact your business decisions as well as family and relationship matters as well across the board?
Yeah, across the board, a lot of it has to do with business because I'm dealing with that day to day, so my mind is on business quite a bit. But he'll just reveal things to me that you just normally wouldn't think of, and other people are not thinking of, and it's just the gift of wisdom. And everybody, it's one of the things that God can give us is wisdom, and so he'll give it to you abundantly. all you have to do is ask for it and spend time with him.
What's your favorite scripture verse in this season of your life?
I would say, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And John 3:16, all things, also Romans 8, all things work together for the good of God, for those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Mm-hmm. And whatever you keep your mind on, whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. Keep your mind on those things.
What would you say? What would you say to someone right now, Al Hartman, who is going through a very, very challenging time? They feel like their back is against the wall in life. A word of encouragement.
Danny, what I would suggest to them, any listener that's going through a difficult time right now, is spend time with God, take your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. I would suggest that they get on their knees in the Word, in prayer, look for those scriptures that will give them answers. I love cross-referencing the Bible. If you have a certain area that is really troubling to you, cross-reference that word. Let's say it's unforgiveness. Cross-reference the word unforgiveness and go through a process of cross-referencing and just see what God is revealing to you regarding unforgiveness. Pray through those scriptures and just take it to the Lord. And he'll release you. He'll unload your burdens.
Why is forgiveness? You talk about forgiveness. Why is that so critical?
Well, unforgiveness hurts you. It doesn't hurt the person that you're angry with. It just hurts yourself. And so you want to be able to release yourself from that burden. And that can just eat you up and destroy your life, destroy your health if you let it. I was familiar with a situation where a lady, even though she was in Bible studies, she was in church, she had unforgiveness towards her father, who had verbally abused her when she was young. And her father, as an adult, you know, this is fast forward 30 years, 40 years, her father's calling her and leaving a message on her phone, please call me, message after message, please call me. This lady's a Christian. Please call me. And she never returns his call. And he just eventually, after a short time, he just blew up the house. And he was in it, and he committed suicide, blew up the house. So even a Christian that's in the Word and in church could have that unforgiveness. So... you know, that's kind of a spirit of religion. You have to make sure that the Holy Spirit is leading you, that you don't have the spirit of religion, but that you're led by the Holy Spirit, and just cleanse yourself through forgiveness.
Al, as I listen to you share with us about your prayer time and much of what you've shared with us today, it takes me to Psalm 25, verse 14, that says, "The Lord reserves his secrets for those who reverence him." And you have certainly been a beautiful example of that. Would you mind saying a prayer for our listeners that might be struggling and even trying to grasp what they've heard today?
Absolutely. Happy to do it. Most Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for Danny's radio show. We thank you for Danny and Suzanne, Lord, with their radio show. We thank you, Lord, for their lives, Lord. They've dedicated their lives to your purposes, Lord. They want to get this message out to people. We just thank and praise you, Lord, for the listeners, the people who are listening in today, Lord. We thank you that this divine appointment you've had with these listeners that are listening today, Lord, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for anybody listening right now, Lord. And we just ask, Lord, that anybody that's suffering, anybody that's hurting, Lord, I just pray, Lord, you lift their countenance, Lord. I pray, Lord, you'd have them look up to you, Lord. Help them to seek you out, Lord. Help them to pursue you, most Heavenly Father. I just pray, Lord, that they'd be able to spend time with you in the Word, in prayer, most Heavenly Father, that you might encourage them, inspire them, turn their lives around, Lord. I just pray, Lord, for healing for any of those that are sick or that are not in good health. I just pray for healing for them, Lord. I just pray, Lord, for anybody that's is having financial reversals, Lord. I just pray, Lord, for prosperity for them, Lord. I just pray, Lord, you'd open up the floodgates of heaven and pour out blessings upon them, Lord. And most Heavenly Father, I just pray, Lord, that in spite of anything that anybody's going through right now, Lord, I just pray that you might be glorified. I know it's hard to think about that. It's hard to glorify God when you're struggling, when you're suffering, but that Christ might be glorified through this suffering right now, anything that you're going through, that Christ would receive the glory and praise, and that you'd be able to see on the other side of this and be able to receive these prayers. It's in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Al, thank you so much for your heart, sharing your heart, sharing your life, your ministry, about your business. Your heart of sharing. I'm so grateful for you. Thank you.
Thank you, Danny. Thank you, Suzanne. God bless you both. You're doing a great job. Keep up the good work. It's a fabulous show. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Heartfelt words from Al Hartman, HI-REIT.com. Dear friend, God's timing is perfect. And look, there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you, just like Al and his family do. If you haven't done so, I believe this is the perfect moment to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehoy.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special video presentation for you there. If you'd like to stand with us with your prayers and your financial support to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehoy.com and click Partners. I want to thank you in advance. Proverbs 31:16, she considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Al Hartman, HI-REIT.com. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Nelson, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.